This past weekend, my family had a yard sale. We were safe, wear masks. It was all outside. I didn't have it on my porch like I usually do. And we usually have about one or two a year. And I also really enjoy, if you didn't know this about me, going to these types of sales. I will like be known to be on my way somewhere, leave a little bit extra early so I can stop and pull over. And as many people did for that sale, I like to do the drive-bys. My mom kept saying, but they can't see what's on the table. I said, it's a feeling, Mom. You just know if it's a sale for you or not. I enjoyed spending time with her this weekend and having fun outside with our kids. It was so beautiful out there. It was perfect. And I met a lot of new people that I've not met before. So maybe moving the location of the sale helped me get to know my neighbors a bit better. The kids like to exit the gate of our fence into the driveway to see what we had put on the tables. What toy could they rescue? What could they not live without? What did they offer to buy back from me with their piggy bank? What seemed to fascinate all five of them, though, was this. It was this music box. We have some in our house, but we haven't really talked about them or played with them before. They're sort of knickknacks that are above where they can reach, or we just haven't really gotten into the makings of a music box yet. And this particular music box is my mom's, and music boxes are typically nostalgic. They have a story or a meaning behind them. This music box, it tells us on the bottom, plays the song Evergreen, and it's the song my mom walked down the aisle to in her wedding. And when I got married, I had found a music box for an important hymn that we wanted played at our wedding, and that sits on our piano. So that's why she had this particular music box. It also matched our living room decor. There were some beautiful mauve-colored decorations growing up in the nice living room. And then it sat on that piano that my dad had gotten for my mom. I took piano lessons on that piano for many years, and now that piano sits in my home. So we rescued this music box from the yard sale just because my kids, every single one of them, loved it. And now it will continue to sit on the piano to become meaningful for our kids. It will become a part of their story. We find strange things when we begin to look for them. That's true when we go to the basement or the attic and open up our chests or those boxes. And it's true when we open up the Bible. How do we read the Bible? There are many lenses through which to read, those that we're comfortable with and other types of glasses we can put on to challenge ourselves. Some of us at Central are reading through the Bible in a year and we're getting ready to start the New Testament. There are certain chapters to read each day, but sometimes, like we've done last week and today, it's good to read an entire book of the Bible through or larger sections to get the feel and the flow of the message that's trying to be conveyed. The book of Ephesians is a letter. So do we read this like a newspaper or an instruction manual instead, sometimes causing the words to harden us and make us defensive and callous? Or can we read this like a love letter, like a letter from one who cares about us and our well-being deeply? We can stand apart from the news in front of us or instructions that we're given, but a letter calls us into a relationship. Let us turn back now to the letter of Ephesians.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensitivity so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed.
In Jesus, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory.
That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
This is hymn number 559 in the red hymnal. Christ has made the sure foundation.
Therefore, each of you must put off your falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who is stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need.
Wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
If you don't know who that just was, that is Arden Davis. She's our early child care center, childhood center coordinator. And so she agreed to read for us this week, which was great. A letter calls us into a relationship. That's the spirit of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. These letters call us to a way of life, Do our words build others up? Are they grace to those who receive them? We put away an old life and take on a new life. We imitate God and live in love, remembering that Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Paul speaks in this passage about gentleness. It is sometimes translated tenderness or meekness. One of the best meanings that we've come across is this, that gentleness is a teachable spirit. It is a life not hardened, like a baseball glove that might be stiff and inflexible. Gentleness is a life still being shaped and molded like clay in the hands of a potter. One sign that the Holy Spirit is growing in our lives is a basic quality of gentleness, of humility, a teachable spirit. We have something to learn. We are open to receiving. This is a sign that God is present in our lives because this is consistent with the very nature of God. God is humble and can be vulnerable in relationship with us. In any relationship, we open ourselves to the risk and possibility of all kinds of things, love and joy, pain and suffering, delight and laughter, despair and tears. It would be easy, because of some of those bad things, to shut all of that out, to say, I don't need a relationship because I'm scared of all those things happening, or I don't need God, or I can figure out life on my own. And God could overpower us, but God speaks to us not typically anymore in thunder and lightning, but in a still, small voice. God comes to us in meekness, in gentleness, in humility. The gentle power of God always comes to us as a gift. We open this love letter and we are reminded that Christ loved us and gave himself for us on a cross, the ultimate sign of weakness and humility. A teachable spirit allows the reality of God's love to come into our lives. That changes us, and change is difficult, isn't it? There is a lot about the old life that we don't like. Maybe we like to be in control. Maybe we don't want to appear to be weak. Perhaps we can't let go of a grudge or bitterness or anger or resentment. Maybe we've become hardened because it was the way we learned to survive. Maybe we are disappointed with God and we've built up a wall. And we intellectually believe, but if we are honest, we're not sure if we trust. A teachable spirit is like opening the window and allowing the wind to come in and move over us. There are a number of words for what this is like: surrender, yielding, trusting. Let us continue to have teachable spirits as we continue to listen to these words from Ephesians.
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you."
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless.
In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his his wife loves himself.
After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does for the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free.
Treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I thought a lot about Vacation Bible School last year, the Knights of North Castle, and it was fun to revisit those fun memories of Vacation Bible School last summer. Armor protects us. It makes us feel powerful. When we put on this protective gear, we are also committing to the sacrifices that might come in our life, and we definitely make sacrifices when we put on protection to go and serve. We are surrendering ourselves to different possibilities. God protects us and goes before us. There's a prayer that John Wesley adapted from the Puritan tradition that was important to his parents, Samuel and Susanna, in life in the Epworth Rectory. It informed his theology and his preaching. He expected the people called Methodists to pray this prayer at the beginning of each new year as a way of remembering and renewing their baptismal covenant. It is also a prayer that the clergy say at annual conference each year. These are the words: I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. Sort of a scary prayer to pray at times. I am no longer my own, but thine. That is surrender. That is gentleness. That is a teachable spirit. When the spirit of gentleness is growing in our lives, we care less and less about success and significance. We become living sacrifices, as Paul writes about in Romans 12. We have been crucified with Christ, as Paul would later write to the Galatians, continuing, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." That is a teachable spirit. So what do we need to be taught according to this letter? I encouraged you earlier, and I'll encourage you again, go back and reread this letter this week. What stands out to you? Where do you get a punch in the gut? Where do you feel a sense of peace and comfort? What is God saying to you through this letter? And then take some time to reflect on three areas. And please note the order in which I'm presenting these to you is not equal to their level of importance. One, community. How are you staying connected to others in Christian community? What does that look like for you right now in the midst of a pandemic? Have we put it off, saying it'll be over soon and we'll get back to it? It's okay to restart what that community looks like for you. What could it look like for you in this time? We've been at this since March. And so we need to figure out what are those ways so that we can be connected to one another, whether in person or in other means. We can still shape these moments and ask God to shape our community and relationships, even in the midst of all of this, despite all of this. And then what do you hope community will look like for you once this pandemic is over? What can you be putting into place and preparing for now to stay connected for others so you're not taken back by surprise once we are beyond this? The first area is community. The second area is the Bible. How do you reflect and read God's word? What has worked for you in the past? What could your reading and reflection look like right now? What gets in your way or takes priority? And what do you need to rearrange so that you have time to grow more deeply in love with God? Community, Bible, and finally, prayer. What do you need to surrender to God? How are you listening to God's Spirit each day? What are you doing to be present in your relationship with God? I believe that taking the time to reflect and be about each of these areas helps us to live out the things that we are to be about in Paul's letter that we've been reading through today. Our bishop, Bishop Trimble, always reminds us to be encouraged. That's his tagline. That's what he preaches on a lot. It's how he encourages us as United Methodists in Indiana. Be encouraged. He demonstrates that we ought to encourage others with our words and our actions. There's a lot in chapter 4 of Paul's letter on how we can encourage others. And throughout chapters 4, 5, and 6, what we should be about in our daily lives. What stands out to me is what we heard Roxy say, is how we can encourage others by walking in love. Our whole attitude and demeanor should be characterized by love. Such a character trait includes putting others before ourselves, wanting and working for the best for and in others, being patient and kind, and hoping and believing in others. We can encourage others best when we love them most. Our relationships with God and each other deserve the greatest effort we can give, and then some more. It takes effort to respond to a letter. A letter is not a book with a final punctuation mark. It is a conversation and part of a relationship. We might respond by not responding to the letter, or by recalling the letter at different moments, or by writing back or speaking with the person in one form or another. Sometimes in our conversation and relationship with God, it is good to just sit and be in God's presence and to listen. Sometimes we know exactly what we want to say. Sometimes we yearn to say something, but the words don't come to us. I like to turn to the Psalms. There are so many different emotions, feelings, and experiences in that book of the Bible. We can use them to pray. Psalm 23 has kept coming to me this week in different moments. Typically, we use it for funerals. But even on the way to church this morning, there was a nudge from God. I really like to listen to that Lectio 365 app each morning as I'm driving from my house. So God, I get it. Psalm 23 seems like a great response to give to this letter that Paul has written. It shows God that we understand how God is present in our lives and how we understand those instructions that have been given to us. Let's look to it now. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God gives us guidance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has given us a suit of armor to put on when we have it to experience the dark valleys and our enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We are blessed. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This summer, the Holy Spirit has been our focus. Its movement and challenge and guidance, God in our lives each and every day, each and every moment. The youth made a skit about the Holy Spirit that they wanted to share with us. I really enjoyed it and was challenged by it, and I hope you'll take away something from it too. Let's watch.
Man, I can't get this stupid glove to work. I have no idea what to do.
What's up?
Oh, what's up?
You have a glove too? Do you know what's wrong with it?
No, I don't.
I think it needs some fellowship. I mean, we can look at it to see.
We can try.
No, that's not
that,
working.
That did not work. See ya. I'm never getting anything. Wait, stop, little girl.
I'm not a little girl.
Oh, okay. I need some help with my glove.
Or maybe need some oil?
Okay, you can try.
That's not looking good.
Yeah. Oh, hey girls.
Hi.
I need help with my glove.
It clearly needs more face.
Oh. Bye. Oh,
hey,
what's up,
Johnny?
Hey.
I'm still working on it.
Me too. Like,
I thought it needed some Holy Bible. It needs some Jesus. But, here, you can try.
Okay. That's not gonna work.
Hey.
What? How did you do that?
What? There has to be a living hand inside of it.
Yeah.
What? What?
We can put in all the effort and do all the Christian things and read the Bible and come to church. But if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be no power inside of us to be able to do the work that God wants us to do. So I ask that you pray and begin to read the scriptures so that you too can be full of the Holy Spirit and your glove will work.
and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Father God, we come before you this morning as the world continues to struggle with what it means to be human. We continue to struggle with finding joy and peace and community. God, we know that you are the author of all of those. Even as we read your word this morning about how to be a community of faith and how to be families filled with faith and how to respond to one another with our words and our actions. So God, we first thank you for being the great God of all that is full of mercy and compassion. And then we beg forgiveness from you for the ways this week in which we may have said things on social media that were mean or spoken out of anger. We may have spoken to our neighbor in a way that hurt them. We may have spoken to someone in our family or acted towards someone in our family in a way that caused deep hurt. God, we ask that you forgive us and that we be able to restore those relationships in a way that pleases and honors and glorifies you. God, heavy on our hearts this week is also all of the teachers and students that return to school. Uncertainty is never pleasant. But God, you are a God of certainty. We can rest in the knowledge that you have overcome this world. So God, I ask that we place these teachers and students in your hands, not only for protection from illness, but God, even more so, protection from the enemy and the lies that would make our students discouraged and frustrated and depressed and anxious. And the same for those teachers, Lord. Fill them with your certainty. God, we pray for the many others that may be struggling with different types of illnesses, whether it be COVID or not. We ask that you help us to be mindful of how we can be there for those people in our community, even though we may not be able to be present with them. And God, as your word has told us in Ephesians, help us to be a community that shows humility and love. I, of all people, God, stand before you as a human full of pride. And I ask that you bring humility even to me, that I may be an example to others. And God, we pray for the family of Jo Ellen McConnell, who passed away yesterday. Though it never is easy, Lord, even more difficult in these times for that family to gather and to celebrate the life of this beautiful woman, I pray that you give them wisdom and grace in those decisions. So, great God of grace, we are so thankful that you gave a model for us of which to pray, and we pray that now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We now take time, as we always do in this part of the service, to give back to the Lord. We will have offering plates available to you on the way out today if you would like to drop your offering in that way. And we also have ways for you to give online. You should see those appear on your screen. Whatever your choice be today. We praise you that we are even able to give back to you, God. Make us ever mindful that we cannot love both you and money at the same time. Help us be yielding and willing and submissive to your kingdom. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Eternal, and we will say verse 1 and verse 3.
Thank you.
Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. In the light of God, all is made clear. We see how much God loves us and cares for us and loves all people. We see Christ, the light of the world, in Scripture and in our lives. Go into the world carrying the light of Christ into the darkness. Receive God's love and care. Reflect God's light and have open hands to share God's love. May you go out into the world with God's peace. Amen.